The following is audio from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information and resources can be found online at parkchurch.org.
Good to see you all. We're here for our family meeting. We've been trying to make these a quarterly gathering of some kind throughout the year. And I think we're coming up on our first year of doing that. And so each one has a little bit different of a flavor. Sometimes we tell more stories like we did back in February. The one coming this summer, so in late August, we'll get the details out here soon. That's just going to be a covenant member barbecue. We'll just eat together and spend time together in a park. Tonight, we have some updates for you all. We have some vision around our preaching series that are coming up in the fall. Number of other things. But there's just a goodness in gathering as the church family. Even just hearing the conversations around the tables tonight, for a few years, my middle school years actually, my family and I were part of a house church. So we had maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 dozen people together, handful of families, and we would meet in this oversized garage and kind of rotate through who would preach, who would do the teaching, who would lead the music and different portions of it. But in terms of church as family, that was one of the truest expressions of experiencing God's spiritual family. There'd be conversations happening afterward as we'd share a meal together. We'd be off watching the football game in the living room. And I feel like that's even some of the move that we felt over the past year or so here at Park Church. A number of different people have mentioned, it's like, man, this just feels a little bit more like family than maybe other experiences I've had. And I want us to continue to lean into that. So the relational time around the tables, eating meals together, that's all part of it. But we also want to stay updated. You know, what things are happening within our church family, and how can we be praying together around those things? That's what we'll do tonight. Next up, we've invited Gwen Hubbard to share with us for a few minutes. You'll hear next, after her, from Gary about our fall preaching series on prayer. And as we're just thinking more about, okay, what does it mean to be a praying church? To lean into this communion with God that is always on offer, but it's so difficult sometimes to lean into that practice. Gwen's name kept coming to mind and also up in conversation as someone who, and she'll say, she's like, I'm not perfect in this, but it's kind of like, well, but you're a really good model of leaning into prayer. And she's going to hurt me for saying that later. But I think many of us, even in this room, have experienced how Gwen's willingness to pray for people with such intentionality, to care for with the ability to see what's going on in your life, to keep track and to pay attention to how God is answering that prayer, but also just to cultivate a life of intimacy with God. So many of us have been ministered to directly by Gwen, myself included, and so really want to hear all, have you all hear from her as well. So please welcome Gwen Hubbard.
I don't know why Neil wants to be so mean to me. I know that there are people here that are, you know, better at this than me. Our older daughter, Elizabeth, when she was in high school, she was in cross country, and there was a big group of friends, guys and gals, and her friend Tristan would say to this one guy, "Why do you talk?" And I'm kind of feeling like that. And you may as well soon. So when Neil called me on Wednesday to ask me if I would do this, he said, just, you know, talk about your experience with prayer. And something had happened the day before, and I thought, you know what? I think I should do this. And now, of course, I'm like, why did I say that? So I've written this out. So there are a few things that I remember in my prayer life over the years, things that shaped my prayer life. My prayer life began before I had yielded my life to God. And I remember crying out to Him in my guilt and my loneliness and asking Him not to give up on me. And a few years later, in 1981, as a new follower, my mentor and I studied the book, What Happens When Women Pray. And I think that helped me know the importance of prayer early in my faith journey. When we lived in Carrollton, Georgia, in the early 80s, I was still a new Christian. And a young woman at our church and in our friend group said and did some things that made my life hard. And I hated her, but I knew I was supposed to pray for my enemies, and I did indeed consider her an enemy. And so I started to pray for her. And in caring for her soul, God changed me. And we became friends, even though she didn't change. And please don't assume that that was a lesson that I learned well, but it's a good reminder to me how God can do what doesn't come natural to me. You know, it is interesting the things that we look back on and remember, but that one was really significant to me, how God changed my heart toward her, and I didn't just forgive her. But yeah, we were friends. When we lived in Indianapolis in the late 80s and 90s, we were in a Sunday school class, and each week there was a time for people to ask for prayer. And that's when I began writing down prayer requests and praying for people during the week. It's also where I learned the discipline of a daily quiet time. And today I'm rigid about my quiet time. And I love most days that I have the time to read and think and pray first thing in the morning for a long time. I know that so many of you just don't have that kind of time. I'm very thankful for this time in my life I can do that. Then when we lived in Naperville, we lived there for 21 years before moving here. I was torn out of my Christian bubble and began praying for people who did not share my faith. And I began learning how to let them know that I was praying for them. And that has continued here in Denver. Most of our neighbors are not believers. And I love, and it's a wonderful neighborhood. We just love this place. But I mean, it doesn't seem like it should take that much nerve to let your neighbors know you're praying for them. But I do that. And we do have one neighbor that they refer to as CJ, Crazy Jane. And it hit me today. I wonder if I am CG, Crazy Gwen. But I know that a lot of people, when I, you know, as you are out walking your dogs and talking and you learn about their lives, and I become familiar with things that are going on, and I pray for them to tell them that. I know at least some of them, it means a lot to them. And then just that's sort of my background on some developmental things for me as I prayed. Structurally, in the morning, this is sort of my prayer journal. I have a section of scripture that I love to go to, just different kinds of prayer or different kinds of scripture that I use at times when I pray. And you know, I just start off, I think what can be common for many people. I just meditate on who God is. I have a time of confession and thanksgiving, and then just the things that I bring before God in the way that I care for people. And there are so many verses that remind us to pray and to stay mindful of Him constantly. Those verses just help me to know how important it is not to just have that time in the morning but to remain with God through the day. Not that I do that well, but I would like to be able to do that better. So I typically, in my morning prayers, begin with calling to mind what is true of God, because I forget how big He is. Thinking about God, thinking about verses to remind me, God is just more than, I mean, He's not just a better Gwen or a better anybody. He's just so much more than I can imagine. And when I remember that, it just helps me to want to depend on him. It's like, would I rather want my way, or would I rather have God, who knows everything and loves me more than I can imagine and can do anything, hadn't I rather depend on him than me? Yes, I would. And I need to remind myself of that. When I confess my sin, I agree with God about my failures and ask him to do what I can't do on my own, like loving my enemies. One of the verses that I just love that I don't hear too many people quote, which surprises me, maybe I'm just missing it, but Acts 3:19 through 20 says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." I tell you, to think about what that means, that I can come to God and not beat myself up or to continue to feel guilty, but to be refreshed by being in his presence. Yeah, one of my favorite verses. I was going to bring a whole tissue box, thinking it would ward off tears, kind of like garlic warding off vampires, you know? Anyway, I'll just set that one there and maybe I'll hold it together. I pray for eyes to see God's blessings on me personally beyond just his common grace. It's so easy for me to look out in the morning and see the world that he's created, and that in itself helps me to know that there is a God. This is not by accident. But I also want to really try and think back how I've seen God touch my life in personal ways. After that, I pray for David, our kids, their spouses, the grandkids. And then there are people that I don't want to forget. And so, it doesn't seem very personal or whatever. But I have by page who I pray for every day. And so, like on Tuesday, I pray for everybody in our gospel community. And on Tuesday, when we meet, I write out all their prayers. And because I'll forget. And I don't want to forget. And so that is how, that's my family here, beyond this big family that I also, there are a lot of you guys that I pray for. On Saturdays, I pray for all the staff and the elders. Again, that's my way of caring for people. That's how I love people. I really don't know how prayer works. Do my prayers change God's plans? I don't know. Maybe they do. But I do know that it changes me. And when I pray, it makes me aware of God's work. And I have the privilege of seeing his involvement in his creation. I value my prayer time, but I hate praying in front of people. I'm not eloquent. I don't think quick on my feet. But when I pray, I don't have to finish my sentence. I don't have to come up with the right word. I'm just alone with God, and he knows what I'm trying to say. I pray on the fly through the day. Usually when I get in the car, I'll start to pray. And honestly, even in my structured time in the morning, there are times that I think to myself, Gwen, was that even a prayer? Are you just thinking, or are you just daydreaming? I don't know. God knows. I start off with him, but I do try and remember to pray through the day. For example, when I have a tennis match, I pray that I've been known to throw my racket, but I've matured. I haven't done that. I have not done that in years. David and I both laughed. He also has been known to throw a golf club. And we laugh. I'm sorry. I know. I lie. But we both said at the time, we're just not good enough to do that. So, but I do pray that I will represent God well on the court. I pray that I'll be a good partner and a good opponent, and that I will learn how to win and lose with grace. That's the kind of life I want to live. when I'm out, whatever I'm doing, do I represent him well? When Neil asked if I could, if I would be willing to do this, and I was crazy enough to agree, something had just happened just the day before, and I thought, I think this would be a cool thing to share. And you may think this is silly, you might think it's absurd, or maybe even theologically incorrect, but I pray for lost things. And I've done that for years. And I can only remember one thing that I've ever lost that I haven't found. But I am pretty organized and maybe a little OCD. And they tell me that at tennis because I pick stuff up off the court all the time and they make fun of me. But last week I was in Wheaton, Illinois helping my older daughter, Elizabeth. We went to pick up 4-year-old Annie from preschool. And then we stopped at Tropical Smoothie. When we got back to her house, my glasses case was gone. It wasn't in the car, it wasn't in my purse, but I was pretty sure I remembered taking my glass case out at some point. And I was flying home that afternoon in just a few hours, and I thought, oh, crud. I want my glasses. I would like to be able to see pretty clearly, and I don't want to buy new glasses. So I thought, I bet they were in my lap and fell out in the parking lot at school. And to a little Christian preschool, and I thought, I bet there's not anybody even there now. So even if I drive way back up there to get my glasses, find them in the parking lot, somebody may have turned them in, I'm not gonna get them. And I thought, well, maybe they fell out in the parking lot at the Tropical Smoothie place. So anyway, I took Annie with me, and as I'm driving over to Tropical Smoothie because it was closer, I just prayed, and this is pretty close to what I prayed, so you'll know how pitiful my prayers are. I said, Lord, please help me find them. I don't want to drive all the way back to school. Could they please be at the restaurant and not be run over? And so I got to the restaurant. I parked just about where we had parked, but it was pretty full. And so, you know, I'm on the ground looking under all these cars, and I don't think anybody would have guessed I was trying to steal a car, but anyway, I'm looking under all these cars, and I went into Tropical Smoothie. You know, did anybody turn a glass case? No. Went next door to Noodles. Nobody turned it in, so I went back out. I'm looking under the cars. Nothing. I started to get back in the car, and I thought, dadgummit, I gotta drive back up to the school. And then I just had this thought as I turned toward, you know, the door to get in the car. I just had a thought. Went and looked in the grass. And I turned and looked over, and there on this grassy knoll, about 4 feet up, there's my glasses case. It couldn't have blown there. It wasn't even windy that day. It was Chicago, but it wasn't windy that day. Somebody had seen it and not run over it and set it up there, and I was overwhelmed. And the reason I think that is significant, and there have been a number of things that it's happened that way, that I just pray, Lord, you know where this is. Would you just please help me find it? And again, the reason that I mention it, I sincerely believe that God was involved with that. I think the Holy Spirit said, Gwen, turn around and look. I may be wrong, but I believe that. And I don't mind giving God credit for something if it's a good thing. And I don't tell you this to say that God helps us find lost things necessarily. But back when we studied Exodus here a few years ago, I think oftentimes of Exodus 2, 24, 25, where it says, God heard, he saw, he knew. And my coming to God, asking his help, makes me depend on him. When God responds to such a small thing, how will I not learn to trust him with the big things? It's a humbling and powerful thing for me to believe that God sees me, he hears me, and he cares, even about the little things. So I know we will be praying together tonight. I love to hear other people pray, especially for my husband, when my husband prays. Yeah. So remember, if you're like me and intimidated at praying in front of others, it can just be a simple sentence prayer, or like I told Neil, when there's time for our group prayer, I'll just go to the bathroom and I'll meet you there.
Thank you, Gwen. Gwen, I'm going to tell them about the elder interview with David. If you don't know Gwen Hubbard, you just got to know her some. Thank you so much for sharing. There was a moment where David was walking through our elder process around 6 years ago, and we had a final interview moment. And David came in that morning. It was like a 6 o'clock meeting. He's dressed up to the nines, buttoned up with a box of donuts. Such a gift. It was just like, hey, just, you know, smoothing out everything. And Gwen came in a couple minutes later in a bathrobe with a cigarette and just goes, what? And so apparently her and Addie had been kind of like realizing that she could really mess this up for David. And so they dreamt of some ways to do it. So she walked in with a bathrobe and a cigarette. And we're like, you, Gwen, you're in. This is done. No interview needed. Gwen is in. I'm so grateful for you all. And I think when you hear Gwen share her story, what you hear is a journey. You hear a journey of somebody who's been walking with Jesus. Gwen is so humble to share the reality, her humanity in that journey. But one of the reasons we want you to hear from her, and as we walk through different things about discipleship, just to learn, it is a journey of learning. We walk through these experiences, big experiences and small experiences, and through all of it, God is teaching us what it means to follow him, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so to hear about the way God's met you, Gwen, through prayer in your journey is a sweet gift. I'm one of those people that just has felt over and over cared for by your thoughtful prayers. And so grateful for you, so grateful for you all, just willing to listen and to learn. What I'm going to do is talk kind of quickly about where we're headed with some preaching series. And so for us as a church, preaching is not like the center of what we do. It's a piece of what we do as a community, but it is a piece that we pray about as an elder team to process. What are the sort of themes that God might be wanting to teach us? Where are the books of the Bible that might kind of explore some of those themes? One of the things we love about preaching through books of the Bible is that we actually get to kind of dive into books that we know there are going to be some themes that resonate with where we're at as a church, but there's also going to be things in that book that we weren't paying attention to, that we didn't see, that stretch us out of our comfort zone. And so we're going to share a little bit about those kind of expository series that we're going to walk through. But we also began a couple years back walking through a new rhythm as a church. And that rhythm, as we're thinking about what does it actually mean to make disciples. And so we talk about our mission to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. And that a disciple is somebody who's been reconciled to God by grace and is learning over time to be with Jesus and to follow his way of life. And so we started thinking about, would it be helpful for us as a community that's learning with so many of us? Some of us grew up in kind of very churchy backgrounds. We learned a lot of stuff. And maybe you felt there's like legalism involved in that. And maybe there was. Maybe you felt like there was a lot of rules and you wanted to push away and you learned about the grace of God. That's great. But you also learned a way of doing things like prayer. Like, I remember learning about prayer lists. Some of you have never heard of the idea of having a prayer list, something you pray for on a Tuesday, and something you pray for on a Wednesday, and something that's things that churches used to teach people. And so when Jesus talks about making disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, the idea of actually growing as a community that's learning to follow the way of Jesus is something we want to lean into. So what we decided a couple years back is that every fall and every spring, we'd kind of take these moments to take a few weeks to take a theme of discipleship and to explore it together. And the themes around, some of them around what it means to be with Jesus, and some are around what it means to follow his way of life. And so we covered that about a year ago, the kind of big picture in the fall. In the spring, we covered an aspect of following his way of life, and that's the way we engage with the world around us in the mission of God. So we did that in January about what it means to live on mission, living out the mission of God. And so what we kind of are leaning into as a church is just these rhythms of what are series and themes we can do to help us learn how to follow his way of life in practical ways, where we look at the Bible together, we learn together, we create opportunity to process our own journey in that, but we also give real clear ways to step into and learn to obey what he's commanded us. And so we've decided to kind of alternate between rhythms more of being with Jesus and rhythms of following his way of life, like breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. In our Christian journey, a lot of times there are people that just do so much contemplation and time with Jesus, but it feels like very minimal kind of like life, living out the mission of God in their everyday life. In our culture, I think we have a lot of people that are busy doing for God, doing for the kingdom, but really have a hard time slowing down to learn to actually be with him as a child of God, to enjoy his presence. And so this fall, we're going to kind of focus on a theme related to being with Jesus, and specifically around praying. And so we're going to be looking this fall about what does it mean to learn as a people to pray, teach us to pray. And as Gwen was sharing, I really don't feel like I have to rehash too much of this, but prayer is the lifeblood. It is the breath of the disciple. And to actually spend time with Jesus, to learn how to be with him, how to receive his love, how to let him speak to you, how to let him guide you, how to ask him to move in your life and the life of others, to contend for his kingdom in the world, to learn how to process your own direction in life, but doing it all in communion with the Father is something that we have to learn, and it takes time to learn. And so we just thought, as a church family, as we were praying out, what might God want to lead us into this fall? We thought prayer feels like something that God is stirring up all around our church body, but something we want to give some intentional time to. And so prayer as a church, when we live in a world that's so marked by anxiety and so many different types of emotional stress and people striving and working and feeling really overwhelmed, prayer is a way for us to slow down with Jesus, to enjoy his love, to learn how to surrender to him, to learn how to depend on him, to ask him to move, to ask him to work in our own heart. And also culturally, I mean, it's fascinating to me how much prayer is a part of our culture. Even when you shared, Gwen, prayer is often somebody's first step towards God when life spirals out of control. So when you finally lose control of life, when your delusion of control finally, through whatever situation that it brings that you kind of go through, when you finally lose control of life, many people will then turn to maybe there is someone out there, and they begin to cry out. And so I think even prayer as a way of helping us understand what it means to reach the world, to pray for our neighbors, but also to help people know, like, we really believe there's a God that they can cry out to. And often that's the way into a relationship with Jesus. And so I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like to be a community that really communes with God on a daily basis. What would it mean to go into your small group with a group of people that have spent time listening to the Holy Spirit, praying, asking God to move, surrendering to him? What would it mean to walk into a marriage where your spouse has been praying for you, and you've been praying for your spouse, and you pray with your spouse for your kids? What would it mean to be a kind of person that throughout the day, when you feel overwhelmed with anxiety and emotion, and you're trying to kind of process what's next for you, to create space, to slow down, to be with Jesus, to surrender to him? What would it look like to be a church that is contending for the gospel to move in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our small group, in our city, in the world? What would it mean to be a church that's learning to pray? And I think God wants to meet us in unique ways through this series in the fall, and we're excited about it. And so we're not going to spend too much time in the series. We'll spend 4 weeks in the fall, in August, rolling into the very beginning of September, covering some themes related to prayer. What does it mean to actually practice the presence of God, to actually pause before him, give attention to his presence? What does it mean to rejoice in who he is, to actually give thanks to him, be a kind of people that are just acknowledging his goodness in the world and in our lives, to give thanks to him? Talking about, like, the Apostle Paul saying, rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. What does it mean to be a people that ask God for things? Like, help me find my glasses, move in my heart, move in this person's life, help this person through this difficulty, heal this person of this significant moment, work in my kid's life, work in our church. What does it mean to ask him for things? And then what does it mean to yield to him, to actually yield the outcomes and yield our control and to surrender to him and to his goodness and the goodness of his reign? So that's what we'll cover for 4 weeks this fall, but then we'll work it out throughout the rest of the fall in different kind of environments, in our small groups, maybe some seminars and breakouts. So that's where we're headed with that theme. And then the next thing I want to mention, and I'll kind of rifle through the last two, is our expository series, One More Week in Matthew. Here we go. One More Week in Matthew. So happy about that. Then we will have Christ in the Psalms from June 4th. Through August 6th. We'll go Psalm 130 all the way to 139, which is going to be exciting. Some really profound psalms in here. 130, Jill's going to kick us off with one of my favorite psalms of all time, Psalm 130. And so that'll happen this summer for 10 weeks. And then we'll do the prayer series. Then after that prayer series, we will dive into the book of Ecclesiastes, which is fantastic. It is weird. It is uncomfortable. Exactly the kind of thing I like. And so Ecclesiastes, we often take in our expository series a book in the New Testament and then a book in the Old Testament. We want you to see Jesus in the whole Bible. I think biblical literacy is a really important thing to invest in as a church. And by hitting different genres from the Old and the New Testament, teaching as a church, what does it mean to see Jesus in all of Scripture is a huge passion for us. And so we'll be learning what it means to see Jesus in Ecclesiastes, one of the three wisdom books of the Bible. Again, a little bit outside the box wisdom book. And so we'll spend the fall in it, around 12 weeks in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's 12 chapters. It'll go so much faster than our 3.5 year journey through Matthew. But Hebrew wisdom poetry is beautiful and profound and kind of works a little differently. So we'll make our way through it a little differently than maybe we normally would. But what I find in the book of Ecclesiastes over and over, I spent quite a bit of time the past few months just in preparation. And in our world that is so committed to constructing kind of the best version of ourselves and to kind of trying to control our life and our situations to create this like positive trajectory and outcome of more, better, more efficient, more productive, more successful, Ecclesiastes just kind of says, hey, take it easy. Like, you're not in control. Life is chaotic and you're gonna die. That's Ecclesiastes. That's literally it. That's basically it. And it sees that as wisdom that people like us need. Wisdom. When you sit with people that have walked through grief and loss and cycles of growth and joy and thriving, but then cycles of loss and pain and difficulty, a lifetime of that, in different environments, in their family or in their career or in their health, when they've lost loved ones, when they've struggled with their own health, the way they've learned to surrender to the presence of God and to say, what is there but to fear God and to keep his commandments? What is there but to honor the presence of God and to follow his way of life? That's the theme of Ecclesiastes, and I think people in our very anxious, very overcommitted, very hyper-achieving post-industrial revolution kind of culture, even our approach to religion and Christianity is striving and controlling and trying to control outcomes and growth and effectiveness and efficiency, life hack upon life hack upon life hack, prayer hack upon prayer hack. And Ecclesiastes just says, take a deep breath. The Lord reigns, you don't. Surrender to his goodness and kind of yield to him in the midst of the complexities of life. So I think it'll be a really meaningful series for us. We'll do that in the fall. I'm excited about it. The seeing Jesus in it, I think, will create a unique lens through which we can read Ecclesiastes and we consider the reality of the resurrection and what Christ has accomplished through his resurrection that renders all of life, everything we do in the Lord, as meaningful. In 1 Corinthians 15, at the end, he says, because of the resurrection, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor, all that you do in the Lord, isn't vanity. And so it's a great kind of way to understand the reality of Ecclesiastes through the lens of the resurrection that I think will be a lot of significant work for us as a community. And then we'll walk into the spring, and I'll do these really quickly. The spring, we're going to talk about what it means to live as the family of God. You were discipled and formed inside a family environment. All of us had different experiences. That's normal. Everybody's experience, for the most part, had some aspects that were like appreciated and good, and aspects that were hard and difficult, and some more on one side of that spectrum than others. We get that. And when you become a Christian, you've learned a way of dealing with conflict. You've learned a way of dealing with relationships. You've learned a way of dealing with disagreement. You've learned a way of dealing with stress. And you learn that inside a community. And we're saying, hey, when you become a follower of Jesus, you're coming into a new family. What does it mean to be discipled into the way of the new family of God? How should the family of God relate around conflict? How should the family of God relate around disagreement? How should the family of God relate when relationships have been broken or people have been offended? How should the family of God relate around the different gifts that we all bring to the table? How do we honor each other? And so we'll talk about that in the spring of 24, which will be fitting because it'll be a season preparing us for another election cycle, which will be a lot of fun. No, we really do. We really did think about what does it mean to say as a church, let's learn a Jesus way of navigating through this stuff. Let's learn a Christ-honoring way of navigating through these things. I think God met us in a lot of ways through a lot of pain and difficulty over the past number of years around disagreement. And I think it's a chance for us to step in and say, let's learn to do this better together. Let's learn to relate to each other as the family of God. So that's the spring of 24. And then we will jump into, for the rest of the spring of 24, going at least for a full year, the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. So another exciting book of the Bible. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that, but I think God's going to meet us in significant ways as Paul takes the gospel and says, how does the gospel meet a church in all the brokenness and complexity and difficulties, and how does the reality of the cross and the resurrection shape a New Testament community? And so I think that'll be a significant thing for us. So that's where we're headed. Then we'll finish up the Psalms in the summer of 2024. We'll finish up the last 11 Psalms, 2024. So that'll be wild. All right, that's where we're headed. That's all I got for y'all. Be praying for it. If you have questions, I love talking about this stuff. I was talking with Joey for like an hour this morning about Ecclesiastes after the service, just because it's fun. John's coming up for the next bit. Welcome, John Pedersen.
Thank you, Gary. Can we thank Gary for his leadership? I'm so grateful. Grateful for you, brother. We have the opportunity to talk about some finance and building updates. Get really excited about that. My name is John Pedersen. I'm the director of operations, and I try to get our staff excited about like policy updates and ops updates. So I'm like, it's ops day.
Best day.
Best day. So ops day, best day. So let's try that. Ops day.
Best day.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. So getting us really excited about financial updates and building updates. Thankfully, they are exciting updates tonight, and so maybe there will be other times when we don't start that way. But things are healthy, things are good. I'm going to do a pretty quick flyover of where we're at financially as of April 30th. And if you'd like to talk with me about specifics or email me, my email is john@parkchurch.org. Would love to chat with any of you. So let's talk about our financial update as of April 30th. So our cash balance is a little bit over $1 million. Our total support and revenue year to date is $128,000 over budget, which is awesome. And our expenses year to date are about $69,000 over budget as well. This is like a reality game. It should show that we were $69,000 over budget year to date in terms of expenses, but that we can we put all of the things on the slide? Yeah. Yes, okay. So we were over budget with our expenses, but total, we're ahead of budget by $57,000. I do want to note that while some of the expenses are places that we chose to spend because of the positive trends this year, a lot of it, a huge portion of that excess is actually in lines like contract labor and some of our support raised salaries, and that's just because of the way that it shows up on our accounting on the back end. So overall, very, very healthy this year. Things are looking really, really good. Again, if you have any questions about this, please don't hesitate to reach out. I want to thank God for his kindness toward us. He's been so, so good to us, and also to thank you all so much for your continued faithfulness, generosity, you responding to the generosity of God toward us by showing generosity toward the mission of this church. We don't take it lightly, and we recognize God's heart in each of you. Everything is his, and we want to be good stewards of it. So again, we're in a healthy spot, but we do want to go into this next fiscal year continuing with a fiscally conservative budget and mindset, and so we will do that. Again, this might be a little bit confusing, but hopefully, is it starting to make sense in your heads? Okay, seeing nods. Talk to me afterward, if not. With stewardship on the mind, I want to speak about our building briefly. First off, we are in the basement space. It's really, really exciting. I don't know if you came down here in the last couple of years, but it was not a pretty place. It looked a lot like that back kitchen area. Don't look in there. we'll get there. I am so grateful to everyone who helped restore this space to a usable space. We're like 95% of the way there. I don't know if you've done any home projects, but that last 5% is always the hardest. It's like pulling teeth to get the last little bit. But super grateful for everybody who helped out. David, Sarah Jane, Tom, Adam, Justin, Steve, Max, to name a few. Also a bunch of volunteers who came and painted and cleaned and prepared the space. We've had AV volunteers show up in the evenings to help work on the sound system so we can actually use the sound system. Really, really grateful overall. Beyond this basement space, I don't have a lot of specifics to share with you about the building, about the property, but I wanted you all to know that we are actively working toward a long-term vision for our property with our building committee, a few of those that I named, in particular David and Sarah Jane and Tom, as well as a handful of others. We're actively working toward a plan for our space, what steps make the most sense long-term, but also what does that mean for this next year? What does that mean for 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And trying to get as many voices in that as possible. However, to kind of start to stir the imagination, there's a few areas that I want to point to that are definitely on our minds. So one is definitely ADA accessibility. It totally breaks my heart that to meet in a space like this or in the upstairs classroom literally just prevents certain people from being able to join us. It truly breaks my heart. As much as I want to celebrate being down here, it is heartbreaking to not be able to invite those who can't make it down these stairs to be here with us. And so an elevator is definitely on our minds at some point. I don't know if any of you have put in an elevator in your home, but they are not cheap. And so we want to just be super thoughtful about the way that we do that, when we do that, and if and when that happens, we will totally call you into that in terms of how can we rally to be a generous people again with the resources that God has given us. Two other specific areas that we're thinking a lot about come from the fact that we have consistently growing ministries in Park Kids and Park Students in particular. Yeah, which is awesome. Something to celebrate. But with both of those, our Park Kids space, we continue to think about how do we move classrooms around? How do we make sure there's adequate space for those kiddos and improve flow for families. I know it's not easy for y'all to do the kind of like maze that you do every Sunday to get to the Park Kids space. As well as Park Student space, we'd love to have a larger dedicated space for them as they continue to outgrow their space. And so these are some of the things on our minds and just kind of want to like give you a look behind the curtain so that you see, hey, we're thinking about these things. We're trying to be thoughtful. We're trying to be planned out what's long-term and also what can we do in the next year? What can we do in the next 3, 5 years, et cetera? Please, please, please pray for us as we try to discern when and how to move forward with these projects. We don't take spending money lightly. We don't take making changes lightly in this building. We don't take your generosity lightly. But if everything is truly God's and the resources like money and property that he's given us, if they're his, then we ought to be stewarding them, wielding them for his glory and for the joy of all people as much as we can. So again, on any of these things, finances, building, feel free to talk to me afterwards or reach out to me at john@parkchurch.org. All right, that is finances and building things. The next section of the night is talking about some staffing updates, which is also exciting. I will give the first staffing update. Many of you know that Calden Scranton transitioned out of his role to operation, out of his role as operations coordinator. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Don't celebrate Calden yet. He served faithfully in that role, and I'm grateful for you. Grateful for you, Calden. Don't clap. Don't clap. We'll clap later. With his transition, we sought to prayerfully hire a new office coordinator to do a lot of the things that Calden was taking care of. And with that, we're excited to share that we've hired Christian Ray Uribe. Christian has been, if you don't know him, he's been faithfully a part of this community for the last 4 years. He serves as one of our gospel community leaders. He also shreds on the electric guitar. It's a very big electric guitar. If you saw him this morning, it's one of the biggest we have. Christian is super thoughtful, has experience in this type of work, and it's already been a joy to work with you. I can't wait for many decades to come. Christian will focus on things like communication and facility hospitality, staff systems and rhythms, and supporting central ministries and teams, and also warding off moths. It was like one of his first Sundays. It was like first thing show up, and there's like 40 moths up in the balcony. So, thank you, Christian. You can reach him at christian@parkchurch.org for any questions, or you can send him some congratulations, send him a kind note, tell him you're praying for him. We're excited for that. Our next staffing update will come from the incredible Kyle Nelson. So let's welcome Kyle.
All right. I just have a few updates. We have had some shifts on our community formation and mission team, one of them being, so many of you who are newer members have connected with Christina. Christina, where are you? Raise your hand. Oh, Beth, okay. All back in the corner. So Christina Meyer has been serving on our team for a little bit, but we just gave her the new role of the connections coordinator. She's really thoughtful at seeing people, getting to know them, as well as just identifying areas of holes and needing to grow. And so a lot of what we're excited about with her role, she's now serving regularly on Sundays, so you'll see her more on Sundays. She wasn't previously. She'll be at 30 hours, and a lot of her role includes, I'm just going to list off a few of the things. So she'll do everything from overseeing introductions, content, to newcomers, breakfasts, community connect, foundations. Yes, sorry, there is more food for those who did not get food. FYI, that is coming. And community connect, foundations, welcome team, as well as our Easter celebration. So we're grateful for her. So if you'll give Christina a round of applause. And then, as John alluded to, what you've been saving your applause for. So, as you know, Andrew Good, who was on our team, moved to Austin, and we had the opening of our missions and ministry formation and missions coordinator. And with Calden's operations background and thoughtfulness of detail and building systems, we just thought, we saw his giftedness in this space. And so we're excited that he is our new formation and missions coordinator, which really encompasses everything from men's formation initiatives, as well as supporting our advocacy teams. If you're familiar with those are our teams that we have created through lay, many of you, serving to support our missionaries overseas. He'll be working on supporting and building out our local partnerships, as well as really just, as you know, our community formation mission team tends to be a catch-all space sometimes. So anytime there's other initiatives or formation events that we do, he'll be also supporting and helping with those alongside me. So, and then finally, I know we mentioned this at our last meeting, but Bailey, if you'll raise your hand. So Bailey is also on our community formation mission team as our connections coordinator. I know this went out a little bit with our last update, but we've just been so grateful for her voice and perspective. She came in December after a much needed help and support with all the transitions we've had, and just has a thoughtful gifting to think about how to equip and create community in wonderful ways. And so we've been grateful for her. So will you give Calden and Bailey a round of applause too? And with that, I'm going to give the microphone to Melanie for some Park Kids updates.
All right. I will take any opportunity to publicly declare my love for Trinity D. Herrera, our Park Kids coordinator. Trinity started as an intern last May. So from May to August, she interned with us. And then at the end of her internship, we said, please stay. Sounds familiar to my story as well. So buckle up for the next 9 years, Trinity. In August, she started at 25 hours with us. And some of the greatness that we've seen in Trinity is that she reflects God's character. She is so present with people. If you are talking with Trinity, you are the only person in the world. And she cares for people really deeply. She actively thinks about our lessons, not only like how they're age appropriate and fun for kids and how to equip parents to take those lessons home and disciple their kids, but she also improves our classrooms. Like, lead teachers can teach better because of Trinity. And she just has the fruit of the Spirit of joy. So come August 1st, Trinity will bump up to 30 hours. But don't get comfortable, because 14 days later, I will leave for sabbatical. And she will start at 40 hours, taking over my position, so she will be leading in that role. When I come back from sabbatical, she will still be that amazing Park Kids coordinator, thinking about lessons, making classrooms safe and equipped for our kids and our teachers, as well as encouraging families. Each of our parents have been called to parent these kids in the season, and Trinity's so great at encouraging them, and she will just be making sure Park Kids run smoothly. So thank you, Trinity.
Just a subtle mention. Oh, when I leave for sabbatical, come August 16th. Couple more staffing updates. Many of you know Brent and Luann Summers. Imagine most of you, if not all of you, know Brent and Luann Summers. Maybe even been beaten by Brent Summers in a game of ping pong. Unless you're Mike Havlick. I think it's the remaining contender. Brent has been an elder here for the past 2 years. He and Luann have been such a presence within our church, connecting with people, hosting people in their home, investing in, caring for, speaking into their lives, been a mentor to so many. And so we asked him a handful of months ago, as we were experiencing a few different gaps in areas that we're growing, but also even as we're getting into this rhythm of having more consistent sabbaticals with our staff, we asked Brent to come in as the pastor of leader care in a part-time role here with Park. So three main areas he's going to be focusing on. One is in caring for our staff and our teams when someone goes on sabbatical. So we realize, man, if we lose a full-time staff member for 3 months, there are holes that exist there. And so we want to step into that, be thoughtful, and to care and to lead well. So that's one of the areas that Brent, beginning here on Thursday, will be initiating more of with the CFM team. But also, as we're doing more with our shepherding regions, which we'll talk more about here in a minute, we kind of have the conceptualization of breaking down the city into different areas. We're trying to pastor well based on geography, and it's like there's some really good things that are happening, and we also are experiencing some just hiccups logistically. Like, how do we make the whole thing run really well? And Brent's able to bring the right coaches and gospel community leaders and elders together to be able to move this forward in ways we want to see it grow and develop. And then also we have a number of different, a growing number of leaders. As we pushed in about a year and a half ago to growing our non-staff leaders and teams, y'all are doing really good work. Areas that you serve, areas that you invest, different lay-led initiatives that have begun. And so Brent's also going to be caring for in those spaces as well. So please welcome officially Brent Summers as pastor of leader care. Next up, we have begun this month a Park Church residency program. So this is designed for people who are saying, hey, have gifts to offer. I want to serve. I want to serve in the context of the local church, but I would also like to continue to hone those skills and learn in a very particular environment within this church context. And the idea is to do a fair amount of, hey, let's read together, let's study together, let's put these things into practice, but also have a particular area within the church to serve, to invest, to lead. And so beginning May 1st of this year, just a handful of weeks ago, we have Madeline Starbeck and Danny Fuhrer coming on as our new residents. Uh, So both of them have been around the Park family for a while. Madeline has served as an intern over the past year with Park students and just done excellent work investing in these kids, discipling. Comes up with the best games known to humanity. We experienced that in our staff retreat. Human foosball, was it? Yes. Well, channeled through you. You brought the energy. So Madeline will be continuing in the Park students role, but as a resident. And then Danny Fuhrer has been around with from the campus outreach days and now with Park College and been in discipleship groups and invested so well here at the church. He's coming on as well as a Park resident. These are support raise roles. And so maybe some of you have received emails or phone calls and saying, hey, I'm doing this residency. It's 2 years. Maybe there's a third year is kind of a capstone year. Don't be shocked when you're receiving those invitations to sit down with them and join the vision of what they're stepping into. And maybe there are ways you can give above and beyond what you normally do to help them and support them in this capacity. So please, again, welcome Madeline and Danny. All right, next I want to talk just for a couple minutes about covenant renewal, which is going to initiate this week. All of you as members of our church at some point read through the member covenant. You know, remember all those like 9-point font? Maybe you couldn't see it. Maybe you had to like ask for a different copy. Going through line by line, we're trying to fit it on one page front and back. At one point you read through that. Maybe you prayed through it, considered, is this the church that I want to invest in? Is this the church that I want to come under its leadership and to serve and to use my gifts, to be ministered to be shepherded within? And then sat down with an elder and processed what that looks like to become a member. But the reality is we're so prone to forget. Like, what were those commitments? Each time I do a member meeting, it's so helpful for me to read back through those and remember, it's like, oh, yeah. That's how we detail that. That's how we spell that out. We're all prone to forget and not pay as much attention of how we orient our lives around what is this call to live in this covenant family as part of our local church. And so we're beginning this summer something we want to do annually, and that's just to really simply call us back into that same member covenant. Not changing any of the details, but really saying, would we all just prayerfully read back through what those commitments were, both in terms of what the elders and the leadership of Park Church have been called to and committed to with members, but then also what us as members have committed to as a part of this church. And to say, yeah, this is something I continue to want to be invested in, and I'm a part of this church family. And also to take a little space and consider what's a next step in response. What are ways that I want to continue to give in this area and to be ministered to? So that's going to be rolled out. The bonus round, thanks to Bailey and a number of others, say, hey, what if we tag onto this a way to get more connected within our shepherding regions? So JD, I don't know if you want to pull up is the map next? Sure. Coming. There it is. Beautiful JD-ified map of the Denver metro area. So this is something that we developed a couple years ago to say, hey, we've got several hundred members of our church, and we only have so many of us as pastors and leaders. And so what if we break up based upon geography? Because we have people coming all across the metro area as a part of Park Church to say, hey, let's focus particularly with one or two elders along with coaches, some of our staff, and GC leaders in these different regions so that we can spend more time together and really know, feed, lead, and protect in the ways that we want to. So coming through this covenant renewal process, here's the thing. We don't know where everyone lands in their regions yet. Now, this is part of the logistical reality that we're trying to work through. So on that form, you're going to be able to pick either which gospel community found one of our lonely moths, which is remained. So the way that we break up our shepherding regions is first, which gospel community are you in? And if you're in a gospel community, then whatever region they meet in, that's going to be your shepherding region. If you're not in a gospel community, then it'll be based on your home address. And this is really just simply a way for us to know better the people of Park Church, to spend time, to visit gospel communities, and to organize our time together. And what we're gonna leverage CCB, Church Community Builder, to connect with one another. And so as you think about, man, I would love to know more of the Park Church people that I didn't just happen to sit next to on the pew, or we happen to go to the same service, or we were getting coffee at the same time. I'd love to know who the people, maybe even in my same neighborhood, maybe a 5-minute drive or a several minute walk. And maybe we could spend time together. We could recognize we're part of the same church. Through CCB, we're going to be able to have that ability to connect, to organize, to plan things at the park, whatever else, which is all coming through this process. So be looking for that. I think we have, if you guys want to take a look at the form, I think we have a QR code. There it is. And then if you can't quite scan it, I think we may also have a link up here. There it is. So this, as you see the form, it will take a handful of minutes. My guess is, I don't know, who's a staff member that's filled it out so far? Kyle, did you fill out this yet? How many minutes do you think? 15? 15 minutes. So carve out 15 minutes, be once a year, and truly take the time to prayerfully consider, these are the commitments of my pastors and my leaders to me. And we also want to have you reflect back in areas that we can grow. And so we're going to ask for some input from you all. But also, maybe where have you experienced God's kindness through being a part of this church? You know, what are ways that we can also celebrate? So more to come on that. We'll send out an email, or you can fill it out tonight. You can be ambitious. All right, what we're going to turn to now is break up into our shepherding regions and spend about the next 20 minutes or so just praying with one another. So we have the mat back out here. Let's kind of take it and turn it like this and lay it over the basement. So we're going to go north up here. So we're actually going to get out of our seats and move to be with our shepherding region. So north up there, we've got northwest, west, southwest, south, east, central, right in the middle. All right, so take the next 20 minutes or so, and then we'll gather back here and sing together.
Why don't we stand and sing together?
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights.
Celebrate what he's done.
For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Sing, the hopeless have found their hope. And as we sing this, we pray for more of the hopeless to find their hope in Jesus.
The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
As you lift our weary head, you make us strong instead. You took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our end. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore for all that he's done. Jesus, we love you. Yes, we do. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Hearts adore. Hearts adore. Jesus, we give you our affection. We give you our attention right now. We thank you for all that you've done in our church and in our lives. We're expectant of more, but for right now, you're all we want. You're all we need. You have our affection.
Our affection, our devotion, put out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Sing, Jesus, you love us.
Jesus, you love us.
You loved us first.
Oh, how you love us.
We are the ones.
We are the ones your heart adores.
We'll sing this last song together as a prayer. Our dependence would only grow and grow day after day as a church, our dependence on God.
For my waking bread, for my daily bread, I depend on you. I depend on you. The sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on you. I depend on you. And teach me to abide.
Spirit, we depend on you.
Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend on you. I depend on you for the victory. still in front of me. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. I pass through death as I enter rest. I depend on you. I depend on you. For eternal life to be raised with Christ. Only Jesus, I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide.
Just with hands open in front of us as a posture of surrender to Jesus for whatever he has in this coming season, for you as an individual and for us as a church, this local expression, this body. We sing together, we depend on you.
We depend on you. Depend on you
for everything.
We depend on you. We depend on you. We need you. Oh, we depend on you. We depend on you. We depend on you. Depend on you.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we depend on you for everything, for our very breath. And we depend on you for this coming season of our church. God, more and more may we be a people surrendered to you. First, surrendered to your love and your goodness, and also surrendered to your will, whatever you have for us. May we be quick to put our yes on the table, quick to obedience, as we know you are the God who loves us so very much, so fully, so deeply. We ask in your name and by your power. Amen.
Before we take off, if you are here this morning, we spent a little time just honoring the Nelson family, Kyle Nelson, going on sabbatical here in a few days. Just want to take a few more minutes, one, to recognize the gift that she is to our church family, and to pray for her and for them as we send them off for the next 3 months. So if you guys would, just kind of move toward, they're standing right up here. Those that are close, if you can lay a hand on a shoulder. Then David Hubbard's gonna pray for them before Kyle blesses us and sends us.
Bring it on in. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Kyle Nelson. Lord, she has been a gift to this church family. She's been a gift to my family even before we became a part of PART. She was ministering to my family as a camp counselor in Missouri to my youngest daughter. I thank you for her. I thank you for her family. Thank you for Joel, her husband. We thank you for these two beautiful young men that you have made a part of their family, Whit and Wesley. Lord, we pray that each one of them would never know a day that they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for this family that you've created. We pray that you would bless them. As they enter into this time of sabbatical for Kyle, I pray it truly would be a season of rejuvenation, a season of refreshment, a season of a time when their family can really invest in each other, that their roots of faith would grow deeper together, that you would draw them closer together as you draw them closer to yourself. Lord, that their marriage would be strengthened, their family would be strengthened, their roots would grow deeper. We just celebrate them, and we would ask that you continually bless the work of their hands in their neighborhood, in their family, as part of this church family, and Kyle's role here at Park Church. Thank you for them. What a blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank God. And since we're not able to hear from Kyle for the next 3 months, I asked her to bless us and send us for the evening.
All right. If you just want to extend your hands again. Park Church, may you go as deeply loved daughters and sons of the good, true King. May you walk in step with his Spirit, and may you live a salt and light in this city to bring glory to God and the joy to all people. And may you, the peace of God be with you.
Hey, thanks for listening. Park Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. More information and more resources can be found online at parkchurch.org. Take care.